Chapter 7.
So, you finally decided to show up.
Constable Hortensia smirked as soon as we walked out of the door. The scarlet-haired woman stood in the gravel, held her curled fists on her hips, and glared up at me. I pressed my lips into a tight line, offered my arm to Daisy, and then helped the brunette down the stairs. We stood together at the bottom of the steps as we addressed the chief constable, and I planted my feet defensively. "I can't just show up," I barked. "I live here."
"Not for long,"
the scarlet-haired woman snickered.
"We'll see who owns this house after the auction is finished, vermin trash."
"Watch your tongue,"
Daisy snapped, held tighter onto my arm and glared down.
"He may be a brute, but that's my consort you're insulting."
Hortensia's jade eyes narrowed on the brunette's face. She set her jaw, huffed, and then turned toward the woman beside her.
"Here, Francis, help me get the podium into place. We haven't got much time. It looks as if the bidders are almost here."
The woman beside her was someone I didn't recognize, but from her plain clothes, monocle, and jerky way of moving, she had to be from one of the court's offices. Frances wore an A-line light brown skirt, a tight-fitting jacket of the same color, light cream-colored pantyhose, and a pair of dark leather loafers that squeaked when she walked. A bundle of lace frothed out of the throat of her white blouse, and when she turned to face me, her golden monocle flashed in the bright morning sunlight. Her hair was a deep ruby color, pulled up into a loose bun with a few strands framing her small, almost childlike face. Her nose was small and rounded at the tips, while her jawline was sharp and pointed like a knife. I couldn't tell for sure how old she was. Her face was smooth and wrinkle-free, but something within her cherry-red eyes felt ageless and arcane. I could never tell the powers of a woman just by looking at them, but Frances seemed so otherworldly, almost as if she'd been plucked out of another timeline and placed in ours. Maybe her powers were time manipulation, or immortality? I couldn't be sure, unless she activated it in front of us, and the only other person I knew of who held the power of immortality was the queen herself.
"It should be fine here, in front of the stairs, where I can see everyone."
Hortensia nodded, lowered her side of the crude-looking podium, and then turned toward the drive as three carriages rolled in. Each one looked gaudier and more expensive than the one before it, and as the last one came to a stop, Madame Adelia burst out from inside. The gray-haired woman wore a dress in a different style that I hadn't seen before. Most of the women in Edenhart wore dresses with large hoop skirts underneath that gave them the signature bell shape, but Adelia's royal blue dress was tighter fitting with less fabric and more muted colors. The long sleeves, cinched at her wrists with a shiny golden button and large maroon silk bows. Most of the details of the dress were the same royal blue and deep maroon, while keeping a few hints of pure white lace at her throat and at the ends of her sleeves. A small jaunty hat in the same colors sat perched upon her piles of gray curls.
"Ah, good morning, Charles."
The older woman grinned, swept forward, and offered me her hand.
"How are you? You look handsomer than ever. And Miss Browning, that dress, so gorgeous, it looks as if it came from the capital. Tell me, where did you get it? I'd love to have one made for myself."
Daisy glanced at me out of the corner of her eyes, opened her mouth to speak, and then tightly clamped it shut as another carriage door slammed open.
"Good morning. Oh, Charles, I've never seen the manor up close like this. It's so quaint and quiet."
"That's the polite way of saying it's ugly and isolated," I whispered over to Daisy, and the brunette stifled a chuckle. Though Josephine was an aristocrat and held the same vile views as the rest of the world, I had to admit she was beautiful. Her cat-like tangerine eyes glowed in the bright sun, her plump lips parted into a grin, and her high, round cheeks flushed pink with excitement. Her blonde hair was pulled up into an elegant updo with two long curled strands hanging over each shoulder. Josephine rushed forward, waved with one hand, held up her bulky dress with the other, and I couldn't stop myself from imagining what she'd look like as a monster girl. In fact, I'd noticed over the passing days that the more contact I had with aristocrats, the more I saw what they'd look like in their new, reborn forms. It was frightening, but also exciting.
Miss Browning, don't you look so lovely today?
I was just saying the very same thing,
Adelia snarked out of the corner of her mouth.
Such a stunning dress. So glad that some of us have some taste.
The older woman glanced toward the plainest carriage. The door creaked open, and Dame Liliana fumbled out. The brunette adjusted her glasses, brushed her skirt free of wrinkles, cleared her throat, and stepped closer with forced assurance. The third aristocrat wore a plain dress in a muted peach color with black embroidery and lace at the wrist, throat, and hem. Her short brown hair looked messy, as if she hadn't touched it with a comb, or looked in a mirror for that matter. Liliana carried a small, compact umbrella, opened it, and then held it over her shoulder as she gazed out over the small crowd.
Hello. How are we all this morning?
Good, good. We were just admiring Miss Browning, and the manor, too.
Liliana glanced up at the house, pursed her lips, clicked her tongue, and then turned back toward the four of us.
If I may speak plainly, it looks like a dump.
The glasses-wearing woman grumbled.
If I'm the one to win today, I'll surely have it remodeled or demolished. I've been looking for places to put a second manor. The location is perfect, but the actual house? No, it has to go.
I wouldn't say it's a dump. It's just, it needs some love, care, and yes, some remodeling. Yes, yes, a woman's touch.
What does it matter what it looks like? You fools are too short-sighted. We're not here for the actual house, dimwits. We're here to see who wins Charles. Not only that, I wouldn't be purchasing the manor to live in. Gods, have you seen the manor I live in? Why would I ever want to leave? No, when I win today, this house will be for Charles and Miss Browning. It will become the headquarters for all of the experiments and things I want to build. True. I could purchase it and then never have to look at it again until I need something from the alchemist. I heard a rumor that the Duchess only visited you twice monthly. Is that correct, Charles?
Yes, I confirmed. But it also depended on the month. Some of the time she'd come visit more often and unannounced.
That's what I've heard. But you know how the Duchess gets so particular about everything. She once threw a party at her manor, and I watched as she had her servants throw out all of the food and cook it again because they weren't plated correctly. I mean, I can understand a mistake on the end of the servants. They're nothing but brainless beasts. But to throw away all of that perfectly good food, she should have sent it back to the kitchen and had it plated the way she wanted.
I remember that party. I wanted to try the roast duck so badly and didn't get the chance to before the plates were taken away.
It went on for hours.
Adelia rolled her eyes.
We all sat there while we waited for the food to be prepared for a second time, and Edeny spent most of the time in the kitchen with the servants, throwing things, screaming, and electrocuting everyone who came within arm's distance. She killed three servants that night. But the party after the food debacle was fantastic. My two consorts had to carry me home. I was so drunk.
I heard she killed five.
Who knows how many she killed?
Adelia rolled her eyes.
She needs to learn how to control her temper. That's why I'm almost glad that Delphine is gone. That woman would fly off the handle at nothing. Once or twice the old cow tried to steal one of my consorts. Good riddance to her.
Adelia! She was our friend.
Friend? Do you even have a brain in that tiny little head of yours? The woman was nothing but a black mark on society, and I'm more than glad someone snuffed her out, even if it was a vile beast. She needed to learn her lesson, messing with other aristocrats' property, and someone did just that.
You need to keep your mouth shut.
A voice from behind us snapped, and we all turned to face Hortensia.
Why should I? The woman's dead. Why should it matter how I speak about her after she's gone? It's not like she's going to come back and haunt me, Chief Constable.
Hortensia's mouth snapped closed, and her single, exposed eye swiveled from the old crone to me. I wasn't sure what she was thinking, but I'd been the last person she'd questioned about Delphine and Milton's deaths. Could she suspect something? No, there was no way. Our plan had been seamless, and we'd left no trace that we'd ever been there.
See? You're all bark and no bite, Hortensia. Just as we all thought when you appeared out of nowhere and settled down in Edenhart. Why don't you go back to licking the Duchess's boots, or whatever else you do for her, you pathetic public servant?
You may speak badly about me.
The scarlet-haired woman roared, reached for her baton at her waist, and took a menacing step forward.
Hell, you can even speak badly about the deceased Delphine, but you dare speak badly about our dear leader, the Duchess? I'm sure she'd love to hear everything you've just said. Edeni isn't below knocking down a few lowly, less wealthy women.
Adelia's sly smile shattered, and the corners of her lips curled down as she glared over at the redhead.
That's what I thought. Now, can we proceed, Francis?
Yes.
The monocle-wearing woman nodded, scuttled behind the podium, cleared her throat, and looked out over the small crowd.
Hortensia, if you will, please hand out the numbered paddles, and then we can begin.
The scarlet-haired woman marched forward with her arms pumping at her sides, grabbed the pile of wooden paddles, turned on her heels, and then stalked closer to the five of us. Hortensia handed out each paddle to the aristocrats, and turned to leave, holding only two in her hands, when Daisy stopped her.
I believe one of those is mine. I'll take it now, please.
Hortensia stared with wide eyes as the three aristocrats gasped, lifted their paddles, and hid their faces from view.
You're going to bid too, Miss Browning? Of course I am.
Daisy snatched one of the paddles away and held it tightly in her hands.
It's my consort's rightful home. He deserves a place to experiment and live in peace. I'm going to purchase it for him.
Oh, my! This is going to be more exciting than we thought it would be.
At least it won't be just the two of us bidding against each other once Josephine drops out.
Hey! I have a little money saved up. I bet I could beat the pants off of you. Just wait and see, Liliana.
I'm sure you will, my dear. But why don't you take a step back and watch the big dogs play, all right?
You! Remember that loan I gave you 2 summers ago when you wanted to expand your back garden and no one would give you one? I said I didn't want you to repay me because we're friends. Well, I want all that money back, you mongrel bitch.
I'm a mongrel bitch. My dear, I've already paid you back with that tidbit of information I just gave you. Now, do as I say, and let the two of us handle this bidding war.
Josephine's clenched hands relaxed, her tense face relaxed, and then the blonde lowered her head in defeat. I almost felt sorry for her. But I wouldn't allow myself that. Josephine was still an aristocrat who wholeheartedly believed in the morals of the town. As I stood on the lawn, dozens of carriages pulled into the drive, stopped because there was no room to park in the already crowded gravel, and aristocrats poured out of them. I knew that the auction would draw a crowd, but these women weren't here to bid on the house. They were here to watch as the drama unfolded.
What are they all doing here?
Daisy whispered as hundreds of women stepped out of their carriages.
I thought it would only be the three aristocrats.
It's juicy gossip. The Duchess spread the word around about what I'd done to her, and they're all here to watch as the manor is sold off.
They're like goddamn vultures. I can't stand to look at them.
The crowd of aristocratic women gathered behind us with wide, curious eyes. They whispered behind their gloved hands, giggled softly to themselves, and then aimed their eyes toward the podium. As we watched, the scarlet-haired chief constable pushed her way through the crowd toward the front, stepped out into the space between us and the mass of aristocrats, and then came to stand a few feet away. Josephine, Adelia, and Liliana glanced toward the constable, snickered under their breaths, and then turned toward her. All of these women were terrible. Yes, they would all be better as my monster girls.
Hortensia, what do you want now? Is the Duchess not coming? All three of us thought she'd be here for an occasion such as this.
Why would you think that?
Well, since Charles was under contract with her, and she owns the property, we just assumed that she'd grace us with her presence.
No, the Duchess has more important things to attend to than Charles Rayburn and his mistress.
I'm sorry, but she sends her regards and hopes you all the best in the endeavor.
Can we please move on?
Francis urged from behind the podium.
We don't have all day, and some of us have other places where they're needed.
Oh, calm down, Francis.
Adelia rolled her eyes.
I'm sure the courts won't need you back for a few hours.
Fine. Shall we get things started?
All three of the aristocrats huddled in closer together, grinned and wriggled excitedly. But out of the corner of my eye, I spied Hortensia edging closer with a paddle in her hand. What was she doing? Was the chief constable going to bid on the manor, too? Why in the world would she want to? Was it because of the Duchess? Did Edeny put her up to this in order to get the manor, and more importantly, me, under her control? Or was it a personal reason? She had questioned me about the murder and suicide of Delphine and Milton. But why?
Oh, you're going to join too?
Yes. Is that the problem?
This auction keeps getting more exciting by the minute. Are you bidding on behalf of the Duchess? Oh, what a scandal.
It's none of your business why I'm bidding. The Duchess has nothing to do with it. This is merely a personal matter.
You want to contract Charles too? That's quite unexpected.
No, I have no interest in what the filthy alchemist has to offer me. As I said before, it's none of your business why I want the manor. And Charles included.
Are you stupid? You're not purchasing Charles. You're purchasing the manor and his services.
It doesn't matter. Now, Francis, let's continue.
Finally. We're here to auction off the former property of Her Grace, Duchess Edeny of Edenheart.
Francis drawled on.
It is currently housed by Charles Rayburn and his mistress, Daisy Browning. Upon purchase, all contract rights between the alchemist and the Duchess will be transferred over to the new buyer. They may cast it off and evict the alchemist and his mistress, or they may continue with the contract indefinitely.
We already know all of this. Get on with it, Francis.
The redhead behind the podium lifted her eyes from the paper she read from, pressed her lips into a hard line, sighed, and then adjusted her shoulders as she plowed on, despite the heckling.
The house holds 6 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 3 upstairs, 1 downstairs, a private office, formal dining room, drawing room, kitchen, observatory, and large basement where the alchemist completes his experiments.
Francis hissed out.
The square footage is approximately...
We don't care!
Adelia cupped her hands around her mouth and shouted.
We don't care about the house. Just get on with the auction.
The property was given to Duchess Lucia by our holy lady, the Queen, 150 years ago, and has stayed in the Duchess's family for generations until now.
I thought you wanted to get this over and done with, Francis. You're the one who's taking so long. Let's get going.
Francis's mouth twisted, her hands curled into fists, and she slammed the packet of papers down.
Fine. We'll proceed with the auction. We shall start the bidding at 1,000 ducats.
10,000 ducats!
Adelia raised her paddle and shrieked. Francis seemed to come alive before our very eyes. Her wide-set ruby-colored eyes flashed, a wicked grin spread over her lips, and she jabbed a finger out toward the oldest aristocrat.
That's 10,000 ducats. 10,000 ducats going once, going 25,000 ducats.
Josephine slapped her paddle into the air.
That's 25,000 ducats. 25,000 ducats going 35,000 ducats.
Adelia raised her paddle.
50,000 ducats.
Daisy breathed. All three aristocrats gasped, turned to stare, but there was no time as Francis started shouting out the numbers again.
50,000 ducats. 50,000 ducats going 55,000.
60,000 ducats.
Daisy countered before Francis could even take a breath.
65,000 ducats. 65,000 ducats. 65,000 ducats.
70,000 ducats.
Dang it!
Josephine cried, threw her paddle down, turned on her heels, and stalked away.
If my goddamn mine was still working, I could have won!
See?
Adelia chuckled over to the other aristocrat.
Told you she couldn't compete against us!
95,000 ducats!
A familiar voice cried. Daisy's paddle shot up into the air, but her mouth hadn't moved. Her honey-colored eyes widened. She glanced behind her where the voice had come from, and we both saw the shimmering, camouflaged outline of the one and the only Valerie.
95,000?
The woman in glasses let the paddle fall to her side in limp fingers, and then it clattered down to the gravel.
100,000 ducats! Adelia!
150,000 ducats!
Valerie's voice giggled.
No, no, no! That's too much!
Adelia's mouth dropped open, her eyes widened, and her neck turned so slowly, I swore I heard the sound of her tendons creaking. The older aristocrat's face paled instantly. She clasped the paddle in her hand, and then she let her hand drop down to her side.
That's 150,000 ducats. 150,000 ducats going once, going twice, sold to Miss Daisy Browning.
My knees felt weak at the thought of all that money. We'd gone way over the budget I'd given them 3 days before. But we'd repurchased our home. I was sure if I doubled or tripled the price of my services to all three of the aristocrats, they'd pay it. I was the only man in the city willing to make those things for them.
Valerie,
I muttered. The feline woman didn't answer, only giggled, dropped her sister's arm, glanced over at the other aristocrats, and then slunk off toward the manor. Francis nodded once, picked up the papers from her podium, stepped closer, offered them to Daisy, and then held out a fountain pen.
I need you to sign. Here, 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 and down here. Initial here, signature here, and that's it. I can take payment today, or within 30 days. It is your choice.
30 days. I'll need to retrieve the funds from my family's bank back home first. It might take a little while.
Understandable. When you have it, just bring it by the court's offices, and we will sign the deed over to your name.
The redhead snatched the paper back from the bear girl, tucked the packet underneath her arm, bowed to all of us, and then shuffled toward her carriage. Adelia still stood in complete shock a few feet away, while Liliana and Josephine prepared to enter their carriages.
I knew you were wealthy, but I didn't know you were that wealthy. It's best not to underestimate the Brownings. Now, all of you, get off my property before I do something drastic.
The older woman hung her head, sighed softly, glanced back at the manor once more, shook her head, and trudged back toward her carriage. Hortensia was the only one left as she dragged the podium toward her own wagon. The scarlet-haired woman paused for a moment, glared at me, and then opened her mouth to speak.
I don't know what you're doing up here, alchemist, but I will find out. I'll find out everything. Just you wait.
Leave! Now!
Hortensia rolled her eyes, lugged the podium to her carriage, glanced back at us once, threw the wooden structure into the back, and then climbed inside with a snap. Daisy and I stood together at the foot of the stairs as the crowd of aristocrats piled into their wagons, their carriages pulled away, rolled down the hill, and finally were gone from sight. I heaved a heavy sigh, sat down on the bottom step, and dropped my head into my hands.
We did it!
Valerie came back into view.
We did it! We did it! The manor is ours to keep! No more duchess banging on our doors or the chief constable threatening us. We can just kick them off the property from now on.
Valerie, that's so much money.
I know. And we can make it back by working for those three aristocrats. Yeah, they might be sore that they lost, but they'll perk up soon and come crawling back for their mustard gas elevator and black powder mine or whatever.
But it's so much money, Val, I groaned. I let my head fall back as my hands fell away from my face onto my knees, and I stared up at the clear blue sky for a moment. Both of my women were silent for a moment. They glanced at each other, shuffled closer, and then sat down on the steps beside me.
It'll be all right, Charles. We'll make it. We got the manor back, and that was the first step. We'll take it one day at a time. There's nothing to worry about.
The bear girl rested her hand against my right shoulder, slid it down my back, and then snuggled into my side.
Yeah, Charles. I know I shouldn't have pushed it that high, but those other women weren't backing down. The only one who did was that pretty blonde one, but those other two, they weren't going to let us have it. That's why I had to raise it to such a high price.
They already agreed to work with you even if they lost. So it's not like they'll refuse to do it now. As you said, we'll double or triple the price of each item, and they'll gladly accept. You saw how desperate they were. There's no way they're going to refuse.
I guess you're right. It's so much at once. I've only ever wanted to be left alone so that I could continue my research and experiments.
And we'll get to that point. Just be patient, Charles. There'll be a time in our lives where we're not constantly running from the Duchess or her cronies. Trust us.
Oh, yes. I can't wait for the day that all comes true. You don't know how badly I've wanted it all of this time.
Then we can live in peace and fornicate nightly and fill this house to the brim with Charles and our monster girl babies.
Excuse me? I gasped, but the two monster girls just smiled widely at me.